Today is Happy New Year in the church, because the season of Advent begins the church's new liturgical year. Advent is a Latin word that means coming. And as a liturgical season, it comprises the 4 weeks prior to Christmas. And the season of Advent possesses a twofold character. On the one hand, it's a time for us to prepare to celebrate the first coming of Christ at Christmas, which marks the beginning of our salvation. After all, Jesus was born into the world as our Savior. On the other hand, Advent is a time to prepare for the second coming of Christ, knowing that when He returns, He will usher in the fullness of the kingdom of God, and He will destroy the influence of evil forever. No more disease, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more violence, no more death, ever again. Right now, you and I live between these two comings. Christ has come once, He will come again, we're in the middle. And our scripture message today provides some insight into what we should be doing in this interim period. So let's look at those scripture readings. The background to our first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah is this. Over the course of several centuries, various nations and empires became the dominant power in ancient Palestine, including over the Holy Land. A little over 600 years before the birth of Christ, the Babylonians conquered the area and they became the dominant power. To squelch any possibility of rebellion, the Babylonians forcibly deported many of the ancient Jews from their homeland. 70 years later, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians, and the Persians allowed those ancient Jews in exile to return home. But when they got back to their homeland, they discovered that Jerusalem had been leveled. The sacred temple had been torn down. Now the people recognized that this conquest and this exile and this destruction was because they had turned away from God in their sinfulness. But as they tried to rebuild their nation and their heritage, they discovered it was a very difficult process. So in our first reading today, those ancient Jews express their thoughts and feelings amid their struggle. They say two things to God. First, they acknowledge their sins. But as part of that, they express their desire to be in harmony with God again. We heard them say in that first reading, "We are sinful. All of us have become unclean. Our guilt carries us away like the wind." And then they say to God, "Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways." Second, the people ask God to come and redeem them, to deliver them from their struggle. Again, we hear them say to God in our first reading, "You, Lord, are our Redeemer. Return for the sake of your servants. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Our gospel selection is from Mark. Jesus knows that his followers will live in this interim period between his first coming and his second coming. In our selection today, he prepares his disciples for this period by telling them that he is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work. Now, elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus makes it very clear what the work of his followers should be. First, they should be resisting temptation and constantly repenting of their sins. And second, they should be actively living out their faith and fulfilling his command to love. So Jesus makes it clear with that comment that while they are in a waiting period for him to come again, they aren't to wait idly. They are to be active in carrying out their work. And so he says to them also in that gospel reading, he warns them not to be slothful or negligent, but to remain vigilant and faithful. He says to them, "You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. I say to you, watch." So that's the content of our scripture readings. And I think their message speaks to us in two ways, particularly in the midst of these current challenging times. On the one hand, I think you and I can relate to the people from the first reading. Remember, they lived at a time of great struggle. We live at a time of great struggle. Now, wisely, they turned to God. And they were very specific in telling God what they needed of him. They needed him to come to them as their redeemer, their deliverer, their liberator. In the same way, you and I live in very hard times with the pandemic, with social unrest, with antagonistic division in our country. We should be turning to Jesus, but specifically as part of that, telling Jesus how we need him to come to us now. We may need him to come into our individual lives, maybe as a liberator, or maybe as a source of strength, or maybe as a source of comfort, or maybe as a source of encouragement, maybe as a healer. We need to turn to Jesus and tell him what it is we need him to be for us now. And secondly, we need to trust with hope that he will come. Some way, somehow, he will come. Not just at his second coming, but that he will come in the here and now to meet our needs. Now, I also think that we can relate to the disciples of the gospel reading. As I said earlier, Jesus made it very clear to them that they were not to remain idle. They had work to do. And of course, their work, as I said earlier, repent of their sins, live their faith, fulfill the command to love. But today, I think, in addition to all of that for us, I think today we have a particular work that we should be doing. And that work is to confront whatever obstacle it is in our path that would prevent us from seeing Jesus come into our lives or receiving what Jesus wants to give to us. Now, that obstacle could be many different things. It could be fear. It could be anxiety. It could be frustration. It could be anger. It could be doubt. It could be despair. It could be impatience. And it certainly could be negativity. If we become just preoccupied with those things, then it blinds us to the coming of Jesus in the way we need him to come. We need to remove that obstacle. I believe that's our particular task for Advent of 2020. Given that, I'd like to suggest two simple things that you could do as part of your daily prayer that would nurture these two tasks: focusing on Jesus and asking him to be what we need him to be, and removing the obstacles that would prevent us from seeing him or receiving him. Two simple tasks as part of your daily prayer. Number one, I think you should devote a portion of your prayer to thanking God for the blessings of the previous day, no matter what they are. Any good thing that happened to you, you should acknowledge that as a blessing from God and thank the Lord for that blessing. I think there are two blessings that come out of that. First of all, if we get into that mode of gratitude, it makes us more aware, if we faithfully practice it, it makes us more aware of the presence of Jesus to us in the here and now, of the activity of Jesus in our lives in the here and now, and of the providence and benevolence of Jesus towards us in the here and now. Being more aware of the companionship of the Lord sends a message we're not alone. It sends a message that God is watching over us, that God is taking care of us, that God will see us through these tough times. And the more we become aware of God's presence and goodness from our own experience of these, the more we trust God. And I think trust is really important right now. Doesn't mean our problems are going to go away, but it does mean that we'll be a little bit more confident in our ability to navigate our way through these challenging times. That's the first blessing of gratitude. The second blessing of gratitude is that it instills in us a greater optimism and diminishes the influence of pessimism. This is a rhetorical question, don't raise your hands. But how many people have you talked to in the past few months who are just so negative? They're angry, they're worried, they're doubtful, they're just so negative. And what does that accomplish? These times will pass. As Christians, we are a people of hope. And hope empowers us to look not just at the tough things that are happening, but to also look beyond them to what is to come, because that's what hope is, the confident belief in something better to come. And the best way to navigate through these tough times is to do so with hope that gives us confidence and encouragement to forge ahead. Gratitude nurtures that optimism, and it keeps us focused beyond this pandemic, beyond this social unrest, beyond all the nonsense that's going on in our country. Now, the second thing I'm going to ask you to do as part of your daily prayer is to talk to God about what's going on in your life and be very honest with God about your thoughts and feelings. I am worried, Lord. I am angry, Lord. I am doubting, Lord. I am discouraged, Lord. And some of your feelings may be directed at God himself. That's okay. God has big shoulders. He can take it. And you're not keeping anything from him because he already knows what's in your mind and heart. But you're sharing how you're thinking and feeling is an important source of release for you. Because if you hold it in, the devil could take advantage of all of that and just wreak havoc in your spiritual life. But if you get it out, talk about it, share it with the Lord, then you can give it over to the Lord. He could take it from you. And again, you're in a better position to deal and cope with what's happening. The second thing you should do as part of that then is also ask the Lord for the particular grace that you need in the moment. Because what you might need today could be different than what you need tomorrow. Today might be a day when you're just feeling so overwhelmed and doubtful and discouraged. Well, then you would ask the Lord to help give you the grace of encouragement and comfort and strength. Another day it may be something else. You ask the Lord for the grace you need in the moment. Those two things, giving gratitude to God for your blessings, speaking to God about where you're at and asking for the grace you need, adds about maybe 3 to 5 minutes to your prayer time. But if done on a regular basis, it makes an incredible difference. So Advent 2020 is going to be a little bit different this year. And I am thrilled that the readings we heard today speak to us of what we need to be doing amid these challenging and different times. As you elevate gratitude as part of your prayer, as you elevate talking to God in your own words about what's going on with you and what you need from God as part of your prayer, you're doing your work. Good for you. So as you ponder this, let us forge ahead in the weeks that come with trust and hope, with purpose and resolve. And let us remember these words of James Hudson Taylor, a 19th century English missionary. Now you're going to listen carefully to this. It's a great quotation. You have to listen carefully to what he's saying. He once wrote, "There are often 3 stages in the demanding tasks of life. Impossible, difficult, done." Think about that.